The last time we had a chance to take a peek into Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva, the Rambam was giving us a little bit of an insight, a little bit of a peephole, based on the comments of the Midrashei Halacha. Over the course of 40 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, first on Har Sinai for almost a year. They're at Har Sinai until the 20th of Iyar, almost a year after they arrive, a year minus 10 days after they arrive Rosh Chodesh Sivan. For almost a year, they're learning Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, learning Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Har Sinai and transmitting it to the Jewish people. And then for the following 38, 39 years, as they move through the Midbar, the Ohal Moed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying Torah to Klal Yisrael, and the Rambam gave us a sense of what that looked like. And we saw a very rich, multidimensional picture of Moshe teaching. Every single Jew who wanted could hear Torah Hashem directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, and would also be witness to Masorah, would be witness to not learning from Moshe, learning from Aaron, learning from the Zakenim, learning from the Bnei Aaron, learning from the Zakenim, and there was Chazara going on, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was transmitted to Moshe, transmit to Klal Yisrael verbally, and everyone got to hear. So he said, you know, Aaron heard from Moshe Rabbeinu four times, the Bnei Aaron heard from Aaron once, from Moshe three times, and so forth. And every single Jew who wants to come to Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva can hear it from Moshe and from Aaron, from the Bnei Aaron, from the Zakenim. V'achar kach, the bottom page Chaf Zayin. V'achar kach yafutza am l'amed kitzasam l'kitzasam ha'shisham l'shaliach. And then people would spread around, go back home, and the learning continued. The learning was not from the outset. The learning Torah was not restricted to yeshiva. That too is one of the opening lessons. From the outset, you learned in yeshiva, and then you went back home, you continued to chazer, and to teach others. People would spread around the machane, teaching each other what they heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yichtuva mikra megillos. And they would write it down in personal notes. Megillos, personal notes. And this is where we left off last time. Here you're seeing for the first time that something's been written down, and that highlights the fact that, as Rama's about to speak about, that there's the Balpeh came first. At the same time that people were spreading around and teaching each other and taking notes, but that has its ups and its downs. When you look at, there are svarim we have, even a recent Achronim, Rosh Yeshiva, that are written by the Talmid Chacham themselves, and we have svarim that are shir notes, stencils of Reb Chaim, stencils of Bistura, and so on and so forth. So the stencils are very useful. Let's say Kovetz Shiurim of Reb Chanan on among other Masechtos Bava Basra is beautiful. At the same time, Kovetz Ha'aretz and Yevamos is written by Reb Chanan himself. When you read Kovetz Shiurim, fellows around your age were in Reb Chanan Shir Bramich. Stop and think about that for a moment. Around a century ago, if I was your age, maybe a year older, maybe two years older, we're hearing shir from Reb Chanan Wasserman. And now look what you're stuck with. So, and their shir notes, are published by the tens of thousands as Kovetz Shiurim, which is very exciting. At the same time, sometimes there's more of a need for quality control. Just anyone's notes may or may not be the most accurate representation of what the Rebbe said. So the Rambam goes on to say, people, b'chalal, are spreading around and teaching each other, those who came to the shir are teaching those who didn't come to the shir. But also, there's another layer of QC, of quality control. Yafutzu Rashi Ha'am, the second line, the bottom paragraph, page Chassayim, Yafutzu Rashi Ha'am b'chal Yisrael la'mevel l'shanim. And the leaders of Jewish people spread around throughout Machane Yisrael to teach and to sharpen. L'shanein v'shinantam. What do Chazal say in v'shinantam? Learning Torah is described Mishnah as v'shinantam, but also it sounds like sharp. Ashu divrei Torah, mechudadim b'ficha. Exactly, that was very meta. That v'shinantam means not just to have learned, and to know it happens vaguely, but it should be on the tip of your fingertips. It should be at the tip of your tongue. You know it, it's sharp, it's packaged, you have it down. So that's what the Chachmei Yisrael were circulating throughout Kol Yisrael, l'ameid l'shanim, to teach, to make sure people had it clear. Number one, to know the pasuk balpeh and to be medaktik b'kriya, so to have the text of the psukim down precisely. You notice that you're doing this balpeh. Yachakav, yulam du gam perish amikra. Now when you have to know the psukim, b'kiyas aniyah, in its earliest iteration. First, you got to know what the psukim actually say, and then it can also teach you the interpretation of the mikra. Hanosam es Hashem, the interpretation that Kadosh Baruch Hu had given. And on that line, Rama says, is that perush kolala inyan? This perush that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's being taught and reviewed and sharpened, was basics. But you post in a mikra of a long dimalpeh akabal. They would write down the psukim, and they would memorize orally the traditional interpretation. The kav omim chachalim aleihem ashalom torah shebichsav v'torah shebalpeh. So this is that idea is already the duality of Torah Shavasat, Torah Shavasat has been here from the beginning, and now the Rambam is naming it. You'll notice though, what did he just tell you about that page? He felt the need for saying that it was Torah Shavasat, that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu not only the pasuk Torah Shavasat, but also Torah Shavasat. What did he just tell us before what the Torah Shavasat included? He said, well, the page was, what did he just say?
Given by Hashem,
good. And before that, a line before, the Vizah Perush, if you have the Ksav, then you have to do about that. If you have the Ksav, you have it right in front of you. What do you say? Vizah Perush,
the general principles.
Kalala Inyan. Why did I make that point? So it's going to become increasingly clear as it goes on what he's driving at, and he's about to elaborate on a little bit next few lines, and then we'll come back to it in a couple pages. That what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu was kolal einyanim as opposed to every last prat. And we'll see where the rest of the prat will come from. And then that's what the Amar Aleihem HaShalom Chacham teaches in a braisa, in a sifra, Medrash Halacha on Chumash VaYikra. Next week's Parshas Bahar. Arguably one of the most famous sifras, because it's not only made it to Rashi Al Torah, that made it into being an expression. Everything was taught me Sinai. And that, of course, is known as its more famous phrasing. That's often used as an expression. I want to say, like, it's a non sequitur. Like, what you mention two things that have nothing to do with each other. Like, what? I said something, you responded, you're like off topic. Now, often people just say, Ma'in Shmita Eitzar Sinai. Rav Shavel, who's famous for his work on the Ramban Al Torah, in his edition of Rashi Al Torah, has a very long list of hundreds and hundreds of Hebrew expressions that are first found in Rashi Al Torah, or certainly popularized in Rashi Al Torah, and he has a lot to say about it. It's yet another metric of the impact and the popularity of Rashi for generation, the massive number of expressions that were launched by Rashi. Ma'in Shmita Eitzar Sinai. That's how Rashi paraphrases this sifra. Alom lecha mashmita nemru kol oseh protoseh diktukein misinai. A kol mitzvah nemru kol oseh protoseh diktukein misinai. This is an example. Rashi, the sifra is honing in on the fact that Vayikra began with being taught by Oral Moed. And now all of a sudden the Torah is highlighting that Shemitah is being taught Misina. And that teaches a number of things, one of which is that Kadosh Baruch Hu was teaching things from Sinai, even the things that we might not realize. We're going to say, Lil Marshal, Omar Alokha. He says, let me give you an example. Hashem Amar Lo Basukas Teishu Shivas Yamin. Basukas Teishu Shivas Yamin. A four-word mitzvah. A four-word mitzvah. That's the pasuk in the Chumash. The mitzvah that I say b'shiva b'sukkah. How much does that pasuk teach me? A few things. Teach me it's a seven-day mitzvah, which 7 days it is. And then you have to fill what yeshiva means and what a sukkah is. And the yahaka chalviyo, that clearly the Jews were meant to implement these dinim, and clearly there are more details that you need to make these dinim implementable. The Rambam says that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu simultaneously was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah Shemichsav, the Pasuk, the language of the Chumash, and the Peirush, meaning the Kolal Inyanim. What are Kolal Inyanim? Not every last detail of Hilchas Sukkah, but the Rambam gives us a list of quite a few principles of Hilchas Sukkah. Then goes on to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hizos hasukah chorval and karvel on a kevah. It's a requirement for men. And a chol chayavim bavlo chedrachim. And there's a patur mitzdaya, the patur cholem. Teshuv that teshuv in taduru. And then what's the pasuk of teshuv? What's called the sukkah? Well, he is sechacha el betzalmeach min haaretz. Well, lo tesukah lo betzer lo bemeshi." Number one, it has to be plant material. Vegan, you can't use wool, you can't use silk, which is an animal product. And number two, as you know, love a kelim, if you lash a tamech min haaretz, kemach tzalav sa'abagadim. You can't use a davar, a makabal tumah. A kli made from plant materials is also not good, it has to be raw plant material, as you know. And that's in terms of basutos. And in terms of teshuvu, he already said in terms of who is chayiv, and also what yeshiva means, achila, shtia, shena, yuba, kol shiva, zayam. And in terms of definition of the sukkah, well, yiba chalala, pachas, nishiva, tvachim, orach, hashiva, tvachim, rochav, the gava, pachas, niyasar, tvachim, the inner space of the sukkah needs to be at least a 7 by 7 by 10. That's a brief rundown, very rapidly, of a number of the highlights of the sukkah. Not every last detail, but that's around the 10 or so principles of Hilchas Sukkah. Rambam says, it just gave you a quick example, Rambam says, of what this means. Torah Shemichsav and Kolalei Inyanim. A couple of highlights, major ideas. Rambam later on is going to use a talk about the trunk versus the branches. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu the trunk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu the basics of the Torah Shel Peh about this mitzvah. Rambam is going to go on to say later on that coming attractions. This is where Kadosh Baruch Hu was leaving space. Kadosh Baruch Hu was leaving space for the enterprise that he himself invented and taught about Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the enterprise of Medrash, of Drashos, of figuring out more details of the dinim based on mining the psukim, using the tools, the interpretive tools that Kadosh Baruch himself gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kadosh Baruch himself told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm telling you right now, that Kadosh Baruch says, I'm omnipotent, I'm kol yachol. So I'm telling you, I wrote a text that has multiple layers of meaning embedded within it, and I'm going to give you the tools through which Chachmei HaTorah in future generation will use to mine the text to find those additional nuggets of meaning. Rambam is going to be more explicit about that later, but he's already foreshadowing here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly teaches to Moshe Rabbeinu Torah Shebichtav and Kolalei Inyanim of Torah Shel Peh, the basic Torah Shel Peh, as well as leaving, as he's going to tell us later, chronologically, not up to it. Chronologically, still in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. Once we get beyond lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to see where Rambam is going to develop this more. And that's where the additional details come from. That's how new shayos are dealt with. And that's where machlokas comes from. A lot is going to flow from that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah Shemichsav, and the core, as I said, the mashal Rambam is used later, the trunk of the Torah Shel Peh, but not all of the anafim. Kasher bo ha-shaliyah ha-lo ha-shalom. And when Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate agent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate shalom, comes, nitna lo zot ha-mitzvah pe-rusha, Moshe Rabbeinu shows up to learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He teaches him Basukah Teishu Shivas Yamim, and he teaches him these dinim. Then Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to, as described in the previous page. Moshe Rabbeinu then goes out to teach Klal. This was the syllabus. This was the curriculum. Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva. And now that we saw the process, now we're hearing what the content was. The chomer that he was teaching was the Torah Shel Peh and the Ikarei Torah Shel Peh. Vekach Sheish Esreish. Sheishmeyas, Shoshesrei mitzvahs, all 613 mitzvahs, Pein uPeirushan. The mitzvahs and their interpretation. Just gave you an example that looks like using Sukkah. And the Kraos, Ksuvim, Bamegilos, Peirush, Nimzal Peh. Once again, he's stressing that the Psukkah themselves were written down. in a Megillah form. We're sensitive to what that word means from work on the Bris Kerav Purim time, in terms of what the terminology of Megillah means. The Torah is fully Torah content, but the Ksavnis Shebo is sort of half and half. Remember, we saw that the Bris Kerav interpreting the Rambam, but Sirtut, that it was fully, the Megillah is fully Torah, but Nikrei Sefer and Nikrei Segeder, the way it was written down, was sort of a half and half. So it's probably in a very similar vein that the same Rambam is using that here. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu teach the Klal Yisrael, the Torah Shel Ksav, Torah Shel Peh, Torah Shel Peh is Baal Peh, Torah Shel Peh Ksav is in this sort of halfway zone. It's written down the Megillos. It's written down, but not in a fully formal way. Sounds very biblical. At the end of the 40 years, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Then all of a sudden, now we're going to get down to several things, including formally writing down the Tarsha, the accumulated 40 years worth of Tarsha Basav in actual Sifrei Torah. Where does this date appear in the Chumash? Rosh Chodesh Shvat of year 40? Rosh Chodesh Shvat of 2488? Where in the Chumash do you have Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Yes. You hear it at least four times a year. I'll give you another hint. You hear it a few hours after you say Chazak. And then you hear another three times Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos morning. Obviously, it's the beginning of one of the Sfarim. Close. Hamidbar does start with the dates, and it's Tavar. Hamidbar, the date that Bar Mitzvah starts with is very significant. The date Bar Mitzvah starts with is also Rosh Chodesh Iyar, in year 2. 8 Prakim later, in Baaloscha, we hear about Rosh Chodesh Nisan of year 2, and that's the Makar for a Muktam Ukhar Batorah. Fast forward 39 years, Devarim picks up. And there's a very clear date and a very clear location. It reads almost like a shtar. It's in the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year. That's obviously Rosh Chodesh Shvat of year 40. In Arvos Moav. So far, Torah has been conveyed the Sinai and Baal Moav. Eventually, the Gemara talks about the three locations, the three venues at which Moshe Rabbeinu conveys Torah. Sinai, Ohel Moed, and Arvos Moed. Those three locations, the Gemara is deriving from reading the bylines that Chumash gives, when it gives a name and a date and a place. So there are three different places that may come up. So Devarim begins Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Rambam is about to tell us the story of Sefer Devarim. We look at Sefer Devarim. We know the official name of Sefer Devarim is
Deuteronomy,
which in Hebrew is Mishnah Torah. Thank you. And it's a chazara, an amplified chazara of many dinim. Why is it Mishnah Torah? Because many things appear for a second time or even for a third time. Tzitzis appears earlier and appears in Devarim. Hashem Zaved appears earlier and appears in Devarim. The Yom Tovim appear earlier and appear in Devarim. And so on and so forth. There's plenty of chazara, often with amplification. There are some dinim that appear in Chumash for the first time, or at least appear at length for the first time. There's been very brief there have been sort of oblique references to marriage in the past, but the process of marriage is really fleshed out in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. There was a reference in Chumash Bereishis to the concept of Yibum, but the halachas of Yibum appear in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei and so forth. Mishnah Torah. So in the Chumash, it's a process of Chazara. What was going on if you have been there live? What was going on? So take a look inside. Vayhi b'sofar b'yom shana. With no lack of drama. Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Hikila Mal Vashalom HaKadosh Moshe Rabbeinu gathered Jews together. How much time does he have left to live? A month and a week. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass away on Zayin Adar. This is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Now sometimes one might say only partially tongue-in-cheek that, you know, if you ever think that your Rav gives a long drasha, Moshe Rabbeinu gave a drasha that started Rosh Chodesh Shvat, went through Zayin Adar, that any drash you have ever heard is far shorter than that. That's tongue-in-cheek. It is true that the Chumash Devarim is conveyed over the course of 36, 37 days, but it wasn't only
the words of Devarim that were said. He says, look at the opening psukim. He gathers them together and he says to them, Hine karv yav zman mosi. I don't have much time left on this world. We have a lot of work to do. If you once heard something from me, everyone there had heard thousands, millions of ideas from Moshe Rabbeinu. If you've forgotten something I taught you, yavo v'yishav avarenelo. Come, open Q&A. Open Talmud-driven chazar shiur. But once again, yavo v'yishav avarenelo. Open Talmud-driven chazar shiur. You tell me what you need to chazar. Or, mishne stapka lo she'ela, yavo v'avarenelo. If you have a suffix about some shaila, some question, come and I will clarify. What's the difference between those two phrases?
One is to fully remind, one is to
clarify. One is to chazer what you forgot what I told you. The other one is an open question that I may never have addressed yet. Something I didn't yet tell you about the mitzvah of sukkah. Something I didn't yet tell you about, fill in the blank. So either one, whether it's something just you content you forgot, or you want more analysis, more understanding, more that we haven't yet discussed. And how do I know this? Rambam says that's what the pasuk describes at the very opening of Chumash Devarim. It says there, Ho'il Moshe be'eretz haTorah zos leimar. Moshe Rabbeinu set about to the work of being mevaer the Torah. What does it mean being mevaer the Torah? Then that's the intro to all the dinim that come over the next many prakim of Chumash Devarim. The Chazal quote once again in the Sifrei, the Meresh Halacha and Bamidbar Devarim, Kol sheshachach halacha achas. If you forgot something I taught you, come and ask. If you have an interpretive question, let's discuss. The content he already taught, they verified and clarified and certified. You're amazed them. And lamda perushim, they learned either chazard or learned anew perushim of the Torah. Over the course of that final period of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, the final era, that final month and a week from Rosh Chodesh Shvat until Zayin Adar, the Kasher Yalef Moso, and then immediately before he passes away, Nigash L'Ksiva, interesting language. He then turned into he came to the work of writing. He set himself to writing. Up until now, as Ram has been stressing as we've seen the Baal Peh B'Chsav interaction. Ho'il Moshe be'eres haTorah, as we said before. Over the 40 years, the Jews are writing down notes to remember the language of the Psukim, but it wasn't official. Even over this last period, it's primarily Baal Peh. It's primarily the live interaction with Moshe Rabbeinu. Come ask me questions. Come, let's discuss. Come, let's learn together. And then, at the very, very end, Nigash L'Ksiva. He turns to the work of writing, and he writes 13 Sifrei Torah. The psukim are explicit. They wrote a Sefer Torah which he gave to Sheva Levi, and Chazal explained that was one of 13. Chazav Shalosha also Sefer Torah Gevilim on a particular type of parchment called Gevil Kulam. He wrote them entirely. What do you mean entire? The whole thing? He didn't have an assistant? No, it's not that he didn't have a secretary, but it's that the whole entirety of all the text of Chumash. Mi Beis Bereshis Ad Lamed Yisrael. In the Bays of Bereshis until the Lamed of La'enei Kal Yisrael. What machlokas is the Rambam taking a stand on that you should all know from learning Bava Basra? Right. Who wrote the Shemona Psukim Shabbatah, the last eight Psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu's obituary? Who wrote Moshe Rabbeinu's obituary? So you remember, right, that you learned in the first parak about Bava Basra, correct? That's a machlokas. And the Rambam assumes that the maskana of the Sugya is that it absolutely was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And he wrote 13 svarim, so each shevet could have an official Sefer Torah that would guide their lives. Earlier on in post-Moshe Jewish history, the Shevatim were more independent units. That is somewhat clear in Sefer Yehoshua, and even more clear in Sefer Shoftim, and you still hear the echoes of it in Shmuel and a little bit in Malachim. Shaul, and then even more so David and Shlomo, unite all the Shvatim into a single political unit, a single Malchus. But for the centuries beforehand, the Shvat, not that this was necessarily ideal, but the reality was, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, the reality was that pre-Malchus, the Shvatim were operating more independently. So much so, already in, you're hearing in Yoshua, then even more in Shoftim, the way they operate independently, the way sometimes there would even be one Shevet or group of Shvatim that were errant, or seemed like they were errant. You think about the concern that the Shvatim on the west bank of the Yarden had about the Shvatim on the east bank of the Yarden. There was a concern at one point that Reuben, Gad, and Chatshe Menashe, that they were veering off and they were getting Tavodah Zarah, and they would have to act their way, they would have to activate the dinim of the Irani Dachas. And with, again, the tragic story of Pilegesh Begiva, at the very end of Sefer Shoftim, one of the appendices, so to speak, to Sefer Shoftim, those ending prakim, where there was, there were episodes when there were Shvatim that did or seemed to veer off the Derech Hashem. So that's already in advance, Rambam is saying, but this idea of each Shevet having its own Sefer Torah was meant to keep each Shevet on the Derech Hashem. Nasan Sefer L'chol Shevet L'alechaz Bidrachav. It's, again, the Ramban develops the idea of Ramban HaTorah, that there may have also been a per Shevet Bezen HaGadol. Now below, Ramban develops the idea, that at least in the Bayis Rishon, you know, in the pre-Bayis Rishon and Bayis Rishon period, when you had Shvatim, so there, below the one step below the Sanhedrin HaGadol, there was a Sanhedrin, a Bezen HaGadol for each Shevet. So there was a certain degree of each Shevet was going B'derech Hashem as a Shevet, in addition to Kalal Yisrael as a whole, going B'derech Hashem as a nation. So that's already captured, again, in the fact that in the giving of the Svarim, the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, this is the day is so fraught with Moshe Rabbeinu handing over the baton, which is what is good leadership ideally does, is you think about succession in advance. So Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is very multi-layered. It's setting up a model for what it's not precisely a federalized system, but you think about the imagery of each Shevet gets a Sefer Torah that's meant to guide them B'Derech Hashem, as well as Hashlosh Asar Nisano LaLevim. The Levim get a Sefer, and that was not just for Shevet Levi. That was for Klal Yisrael, and that becomes the original Sefer in the Shevet Mikdash. So you have already in the giving of the Svarim, it captures Moshe Rabbeinu setting up a notion that each Shevet is going to be responsible to go B'Derech Hashem, and Klal Yisrael as a whole will be nationally responsible to go B'Derech Hashem, in addition, of course, to, on the other end, individuals going B'Derech Hashem. We've been hearing a lot about individuals all throughout. Where we picked up today. Individual people were learning in Chazri and learning with each other and teaching each other. It wasn't only going to Shiurim, it was also having a Chavrusa, having a night Seder, having a morning Seder. You learn with the Chavrusa and you Chazri in addition to going to. That notion, is that too, already goes back to the earliest days of the Masorah of Torah. And this notion of the 13th Svarim, it captures both the handing, the thinking about succession in terms of political structure and leadership, political in the finest sense, in the Aristotelian sense of the word. I mean, in terms of backstabbing, kin and typhon covered. I mean, politics in the sense of governance and leadership. Governance and leadership that would structure on both the klal level and on the shevet level that would be holech, built around being holech b'derech Hashem, and as well the conveying of Torah, the conveying of Masorah, and as we said, it's at this moment that the work of Torah Shebichsav becoming Bichsav is completed. I said a few minutes ago, initially they're writing Megillos. Everyone's writing their own notes to remember. They have to memorize all these Psukim and Chumash and all the Dinim. So at least the Psukim and Chumash they write down. The Dinim they memorize Baal Peh. So those Megillos that people are writing personally, those were, like I said before, like the Briskerav and Hilchas Megillah. So Rav Chat, it was written down. It wasn't Mamash a Sefer Torah. It couldn't have been a Sefer Torah. They didn't have the whole text of Sefer Torah yet. There wasn't even an option to write a Sefer Torah in advance. And this goes back to the comments that I said last time. I believe it's from Rav Hirsch that Torah Shebaal Peh actually preceded the Torah Shebichsav. The opposite of the approach of many, many Epicurus in the Tarshu Bal Peh came centuries later. Adrabah, Tarshu Bal Peh was in full shape from the outset. Tarshu Bichsav only fully became Tarshu Bichsav at the end of the 40 years. 13 Svarim, V'yamar Lahem L'Kocha Sefer HaTorah Hazos. V'yamar Lahem L'Kocha Sefer HaTorah Hazos. So that is the final era and the final day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. It's a dramatic crescendo, a dramatic climax, and a dramatic tying up with a bow of all of Moshe Rabbeinu's work. The work of learning Torah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is something that's never going to recur again. That's an upcoming theme. The Rambam is about to say, well, it's interesting to see next time. The Rambam is going to talk about the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, in addition to being a personally tragic moment and a nationally tragic moment in terms of the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu, in addition to all of that, and the psukim are very clear that it was a very, very emotional moment. You hear about the bechias after the passing of the tzaddikim. In addition to that, it was also a watershed moment in terms of the turning point in terms of how Torah will be learned and taught. Because it's through the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life that Torah is being conveyed directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo b'shamayim is going to start the next day. So and Moshe Rabbeinu has been incredibly responsible throughout the 40 years in terms of being totally mustered to his teaching and to teaching them content and to teaching them and to setting up the model of yeshiva and so in so many different ways in terms of chazara and chavrusas and masorah and teach them Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh, both of which a Jew is supposed to learn and know, ulameid ulushanein, and to have a chazer who gives chazara shir. That's also already part of the original model in Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva. And as we saw, to chazer b'chavrus, to learn b'chavrus, that too is part of the original model. And Moshe Rabbeinu dedicates the last month and a week. That is now, looking back, I said the Rambam, I told you a few minutes ago, we're about to see how the Rambam understands the work of Sefer Devarim. So the work of Sefer Devarim also is Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. Not just there's more content about the psukim that we know through Torah Shebapeh, but also that the Torah, and that's certainly true. There's plenty of content about tefillin, about Kriyat Shema, and about Shiluach HaKein, and about Avodah Zarah, and about Yibum Chalitza, and so on and so forth. There's plenty of Torah Shapeh content about the psukim of Chumash Devarim. But on a whole other meta level, the psukim of Sefer Devarim are giving us sort of like a little bit of a sense, an impressionistic sense, of what was life like. What was the work of Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael during that period, the period of Sefer Devarim? Chodesh Shvat in the first 7 days of Chodesh Adar of 2488. And the work was Chazara, clarification, Ho'il Moshe Be'eretz HaTorah Hazos Le'emar. That opening line describes the psukim in Devarim and also the period of time. That was the avoda of Moshe and of Klal Yisrael. Moshe was totally invested in Chazarim with Klal Yisrael and teaching and making himself totally available, and Klal Yisrael was totally invested in trying to draw as much as they could, to absorb as much as they could of this literally unparalleled opportunity to spend those final weeks with Moshe Rabbeinu. And he takes care of the Torah Shebapeh, and he takes care of fully converting the Torah Shebichsav into Ksav, and now it's not just personal, handwritten, informal, I should say, igros, megillos. Now it's formal, 13 formal Sefer Torah, which puts the Torah Shebichsav into Bichsav form, sets the structure for Torah leadership and guidance for Klal Yisrael. And with that, Moshe has completed his work in Olam Hazeh. He'll pick up Mirtz Hashem next time, tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, with what the Rambam says about the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he has a very important comment that's not directly about the story of the Masorah of Torah, but it's an important insight. Bichlal, and I think it may also speak to things that are on our minds. We'll pick up with that tomorrow. The Rambam's opening comment, and then he begins to talk about what life was like under Yehoshua. And a very fascinating connection that he draws. He quickly leaps in a line, thousands of years, equating Yehoshua and Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi lives several thousand years after Yehoshua. How long? Around 2,000 years or so after Yeshua, give or take. What's a couple of centuries between friends? But Rav Ashi lives loosely speaking, 2,000 years or so after Yehoshua. And from Yehoshua until the Binyan Bayis Sheni is around 1,000 years. And then from Binyan Bayis Sheni until the Chasimus HaTalmud is, again, loosely speaking, give or take a century, around another 1,000 years. So the Rambam is very, very quickly going to jump from Yehoshua to Rav Ashi and then back to Yehoshua and then pick up that story. And that will then take us into an appreciation of Nevuah and appreciation from there of Tar Shel Peh and of Machlokas. We have a lot, and of the durability of the halachic system. We have a lot coming up that we'll continue with tomorrow.